This is why airlines and energy suppliers were put on alert this morning. A storm on the surface of the sun. The eruption is known as a coronal mass ejection, or solar flare. It led to a massive amount of solar particles heading towards Earth, which passed the planet this morning. When this happens, it causes a geomagnetic storm. It meant there was a higher chance of seeing the Northern Lights, but solar flares can also affect radio communication systems, GPS, and power grids. For most, though, they pass unnoticed.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
To love like me thinking of you, thinking of me, thinking of you type love, or me telling my friends more than I've ever admitted to myself about how I feel about you type love, or hating how jealous you are but loving how much you want me all to yourself type love, or seeing how your first name just sounds so good next to my last name, and I wanted to see how far I could get without calling you, and I barely made it out of my garage. See, I want a love that makes me wait until she falls asleep, then wonder if she's dreaming about us being in love type love, or who loves the other more, or what she's doing at this exact moment, or slow dancing in the middle of our apartment to the music of our hearts, closing my eyes and imagining how a love good could just hurt so much when she's not there, and shit, I love not knowing where this love is headed type love. And check this, I want to place those little post-it notes all around the house so she never forgets how much I love her type love, then... Not have enough ink in my pen to write all the insta love about her type love, and hope I make her feel as good as she makes me feel. And I want to deal with my friends making fun of me the way I made fun of them when they went through the same kind of love type love. Only difference is, this is one of those real love type loves. And just like in high school, I want to spend hours on the phone not saying shit, and then fall asleep and then wake up with her right next to me and smell her all up in my covers type love. And I want to try counting the ways I love her, then lose count in the middle just so I have to start all over again. And I want to celebrate one of those one-month anniversaries, even though they ain't really anniversaries, but doing it just because it makes a happy type love. And check this. I want to fall in love with the melody the phone plays when none of us dialed into a type love, then talk to you until I lose my breath. She leaves me breathless, but with the expanding of my lungs, I inhale all of her back into me. I want a love that makes me need to change my cell phone calling plan to something that allows me to talk to her longer, because in all honesty, I want to avoid one of them high cell phone bill type loves. And I want a love that makes me regret how small my hands are. I mean, the lines of my palms don't give me enough time to love you as long as I'd like to type love. And I want a love that makes me stutter just thinking about how strong this love is type love. And I want a love that makes me want to cut off all my hair. Well, maybe not all of the hair. Maybe like I cut the split ends and trim my mustache, but it would still be a symbol of how strong my love is for her. And check this. I kind of feel comfortable now, so I even be fantasizing about walking out on a green light, just dying to get hit by a car, just so I could lose my memory, get transported to some third world country just to get treated, and somehow meet up again with you so I can fall in love with you in a different language and see if it still feels the same type love. I want a love that's as unexplainable as she is, but I'm married, so she's gonna be the one I share this love with.
This is the conspiratorial view of history, as opposed to the accidental view. And it is the conspiratorial view that we shall present in this program.
CBS News, comedy actor John Belushi has died in Los Angeles. This is Frank Setapani reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The information concerning Belushi's death is minimal at this point, but the death has been confirmed by Ian Dove, a spokesman for his public relations agency, the firm of Salters and Roskin in Los Angeles.
John is dead, died in Los Angeles. That's basically all the information we have ourselves. We received a call from his management, Mr. Brostein, Bernie Brostein.
The cause of Belushi's death not known just yet. Belushi, who was 33, got his start with a theater group in Chicago and went on to star in television's Saturday Night Live before making it big in the movies, films including Animal House, The Blues Brothers, and Continental Divide.
pacify your feelings with every gentle caress. Because it's so important to have that special somebody to hold, kiss, miss, scream, and please.
Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
Germans? Forget it, he's rolling.
And it ain't over now. Because when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Who's with me? Let's go! Come on! Where's the spirit? Where's the guts? Huh? This could be the greatest night of our lives, but you're gonna let it be the worst. Not me! I'm not gonna take this!
Let's do it.
Of Americans admit to having a problem with a Mormon president who is also Mitt Romney. An embarrassing bounced check from Greece is taped up in the IMF headquarters, and the dog in an internet video feels guilty about capturing the public imagination so easily. If I sound under duress, it's certainly not because the fine people at Chevrolet are holding me at knife point until I mention the all-new 2012 Volt. This is The Onion Week in Review. President Obama announced Wednesday that all of the nation's education resources will now be directed toward the 50 children who actually are the future. Abandoning the myth that every child is capable of changing the world, Obama said the new initiative would redirect the nearly $1 trillion in education spending to students like Malik Roberts, the Zelenev twins, and 5-year-old Ella May, all of whom will assuredly serve as the nation's next medical pioneers, technology innovators, and titans of industry.
Every year we waste billions of dollars on countless children that, quite frankly, never offer any returns on that investment. It's time we cut our losses.
Sources within the Vatican confirmed Tuesday that Pope Benedict XVI has dispatched an elite team of six bishops to sabotage leading contraceptive manufacturer Pfizer. Codenamed Conclave 6, the highly trained team of bishops will reportedly infiltrate the heavily guarded compound, detonate extremely powerful charges at key points within the factory, and then escape to a nearby safe house.
The Catholic Church can trust only the best with defending God's plan. Conclave 6 is the deadliest team of bishops I've ever laid eyes on.
The Pope denied rumors that a B-team of needle-wielding priests had been deployed to a latex factory in New Jersey to poke tiny holes into thousands of Durex condoms. On the election front, voters are slowly realizing that Rick Santorum believes every deranged word that comes out of his mouth.
All right, guys, it's time for Happy Hour, and joining me this evening, our chief producer, Jenny Churchill, and Anthony Randazzo, Director of Economic Research for the Reason Foundation.
Who is not wearing socks?
I thought Anthony was wearing socks. Sorry, guys.
Only socks.
Jokes out there. This is why I'm laughing so much. Okay, let's start with this story. Makes me laugh kind of too, because it's one of those things where law enforcement really tries to pump up some new gadget that they have and talk about how cool it is, and then things go awry. So this particular bit is from Montgomery County in Texas, and they had a really big day planned because of this fancy new drone. Take a listen.
We can launch this, put it over a fire, put it over a hazmat spill, put it over a house with a barricaded suspect, and literally give the incident commander the ability to look at the entire scene with a bird's eye view.
Okay, so what happened is it was debut day for the big shiny drone that only cost them $300,000. And basically, the drone crashed into a SWAT team when it lost control or contact with the controller's console on the ground.
Yeah. See, he mentioned all the things you could put it over. He forgot the SWAT team and threw the SWAT team. It's actually quite terrifying because if it hadn't been the SWAT team and like an armored vehicle, people could have been injured or killed.
The whole problem is they want to have, you know, drones flying around domestically everywhere, but these things can go wrong.
I have two words for you.
Predator drones.
You will never see it coming.
You think I'm joking?
We've seen them hunt down terrorists in Afghanistan, unmanned aircraft commonly known as drones. And they could soon fill the skies right here at home.
Congress has directed the Federal Aviation Administration to open the airways for commercial use of drones by 2015. New tonight, KATV News Watch 7's Andrew Ozaki gives us a glimpse into the future.
You are looking at what soon could be hovering into our everyday lives, flying robots or drones. This one was developed by University of Nebraska researcher Vishal Singh.
I think we're going to start seeing this in a lot of everyday situations.
He can control it with a joystick or even program an automatic flight plan, stabilize cameras, relay back a bird's eye view. He's already used the craft to help researchers study crops at the university.
So, you know, which areas of the fields need to be watered more.
Right now, the Federal Aviation Administration only allows university researchers like Singh or government agencies to fly drones over American soil. They've issued 300 permits. The Mesa County Sheriff's Office in Colorado has one. Nebraska law agencies say it's definitely on their radar screen.
I wouldn't be surprised if 10 years from now you see news organizations or police departments that could never afford to keep a helicopter in the air using unmanned vehicles to bring back a video feed.
Recommendations for rules on commercial use, like for realtors or news organizations, could come out as soon as this spring.
This year is the year we're going to start to see what the rules are going to be and what the future is going to hold.
Matt Wade is a journalism professor at UNL. He sees the promise of this new technology.
Throw them in the trunk of your car, you go out to a story, you go up, you get your images, you come down, you send them back to the newsroom.
And its concerns.
I think you are a little bit naive if you think this is cool and you don't realize that it is a little bit creepy.
He set up a drone journalism lab to research the legal and ethical issues of privacy in this brave new world. His webpage offers a forum for information and debate.
When do you use it? And when is the use of a drone a violation of somebody's privacy?
And there's questions about safety. Right now, drones can only be flown under 400 feet and within eyesight.
There is a great deal of responsibility that comes with trying to use these in a public place.
As Syria continues to unravel, the president says he wants to exhaust diplomatic efforts. But for the first time, signs that President Obama has started discussing options with his military.
The President of the United States, through the National Security Staff, has asked us to begin the commander's estimate. The estimate of the situation.
CNN was first to report military planning was underway. On Wednesday, the nation's top officer told a Senate committee those options include humanitarian relief, a no-fly zone, intervention at sea, and airstrikes.
But I want to be clear. We can do anything. The question is, so it's not about can we do it, it's should we do it.
Senator John McCain continued to insist the U.S. should.
Can you tell us how much longer the killing would have to continue? How many additional civilian lives would have to be lost? How many more have to die? 10,000 more? 20,000 more?
Before I recommend that we put our sons and daughters in uniform, in harm's way, I've got to make very sure that we know what the mission is. I've got to make very sure that we know whether we can achieve that mission.
Panetta said U.S. ground troops are not being considered. U.S. concerns, however, a fractured opposition with nearly 100 groups. Airstrikes could take hundreds of aircraft and weeks of bombing to destroy Syria's air defenses.
They have approximately five times more more sophisticated air defense systems than existed in Libya, covering one-fifth of the terrain.
Panetta said it wouldn't make sense for the U.S. to act unilaterally, but he set off a firestorm when he said the U.S. would want international permission. The U.S. would want international permission. The U.S. would want international permission, but might not seek congressional approval, but might not seek congressional approval, but might not seek congressional approval for military action.
Our goal would be to seek international permission, and we would come to the Congress and inform you.
I'm almost breathless about that, because what I heard you say is we're going to seek international approval, and they will come and tell the Congress what we might do.
On the wind until I find you. I bury myself deep inside your heart. You won't feel a change. We'll just become the same thing and never spend single day apart. Yes, I guess there have been many others. Yes, I've treated them the same as you. Oh, but quick, I let them dry, and I lick the salty tears they cry. And many went from many to a few. But I'm the angel of death, babe, the end is near. Keep your hand on your chest, don't let me whisper in your ear. It's best to keep on walking, lock the door when I come knocking. Mine's the voice you never wanna hear. Shocked by this admittance, but things rarely ever what they seem, darling. Oh, I don't mean you harm by my existence. Just let your tired eyes slip into dreams. I'm the angel of death, babe, the end is near. Keep your hand on your chest, don't let me whisper in your ear. It's best to keep on walking, lock the door when I come knocking. Mine's the voice you never wanna. Yeah, mine's the voice you never wanna hear.
Outstanding.
A fight breaks out in a Massachusetts court. Murder suspect Jose Santiago's hearing descended into chaos.
You gotta embrace the chaos. You have to. That way life might just astonish you.
when members of the victim's family tried to attack him. In video footage of the incident, a handcuffed Santiago is walked into the courtroom before two men lunge at him. Images show court officials pushing the accused out of the room, while others tackled his enraged attackers. The two men, one of whom is the victim's father, have been charged with assault and battery on a public employee.
Tonight, 9 News Now has uncovered new information on a deadly police shooting in Culpeper. An eyewitness now contradicting the police version of yesterday's confrontation in a Catholic school parking lot that ended with the death of 54-year-old Patricia Cook. Peggy Fox is in Culpeper with the latest on this investigation.
An eyewitness here in Culpeper is contradicting what state police are saying about the investigation and why the Culpeper police officer fired at a Sunday school teacher.
He had his hand on the door handle, one hand here and one hand, I remember distinctly because his hands were real close together.
Chris Bouchel says he saw a Culpeper Town police officer shoot 54-year-old Patricia Cook to death in this church parking lot yesterday morning. Cook was in her Jeep Wrangler. State police say Cook rolled up the window, catching the officer's arm inside, and then dragged him. Bouchel says it didn't happen that way.
He was right next to the vehicle. He had one hand on the door handle and one hand on his weapon. And she was rolling the window up, and they were exiting out of the parking lot. The window was halfway up. He said, stop or I'll shoot. And I really didn't think he was going to do it. But she got the window all the way up, and that's when he shot. And then she took a left out of the parking lot here, and he stepped out in the street and fired five more times.
Bouchel says the officer was not dragged. He says he couldn't have had his arm caught because he fired through the glass.
I'm angry. I'm frustrated. I'm sad. I'm fighting back tears right now.
Cook's husband doesn't understand why an officer would shoot his unarmed wife multiple times.
Personally, I think it may be an overreaction. Maybe excessive force, but I can only surmise that.
He doesn't know why his wife was in the parking lot of the Epiphany Catholic School. Their couple's pastor at Culpeper United Methodist Church thinks she may have been there searching for a job to work with children because she loved her volunteer role teaching Sunday school here.
We have to celebrate the good things and the parts that we had of Patton, and not just what we've lost.
Gary Cook is filled with questions along with his grief over his wife's killing.
I wish I knew what was going on. I honestly do. I wish I knew what was happening.
Culpeper Town Police and the County Sheriff's Department are assisting state police in the investigation.
Story tonight from Tirunelveli in southern Tamil Nadu. A policeman is hacked and left to bleed to death in the middle of a highway.
Well, two state ministers and their officers were all witnesses. Photographers on their convoy, in fact, were able to record the policeman's dying moments, but none of them moved in to save him in time. And by the time they did, it was too late.
We should warn you that these pictures are truly disturbing. Meenakshi Mahadevan with the details.
It's perhaps the most desperate plea for help ever caught on tape.
A sub-inspector of police hacked by an unidentified gang, lying in the middle of a national highway, begging for someone to save his life. He bled and begged. There was enough time to capture it on tape, but no one had the heart to take him to a hospital in time. The state's health minister and his entire convoy passed by, but no one cared for the dying policeman. And in the end, R. Vetrivel bled to death on the road.
What is your emergency?
We have a neighbor out here that come up with, and pulled a gun on us. The shelter, he's got a baby in his arms, he's got a gun, and he's topped it.
Police say 50-year-old John Loxus was holding his grandchild in his arms as he walked around this Scottsdale neighborhood Tuesday night, threatening neighbors and later police.
There were at least three officers that were in a position to engage the suspect. At least one of the officers thought he saw something in the suspect's hands.
Loxus was standing outside of his home with his grandchild still in his arms when Officer James Peters fired one shot to the head, killing the suspect. Neighbors were still on the phone with 911 dispatchers when they heard the fatal shot.
Whoa! Oh my God, what was that? I just heard something like a gunshot.
Police say the 9-month-old boy was not injured during the shooting. Officers also escaped unharmed, but some neighbors are now questioning the officers' actions. Detectives did not find a weapon on Loxus following the shooting, but did locate several firearms inside the home.
I know that he didn't have anything on him besides a phone.
The boy's uncle believes the shooting was unjustified.
My sister was on the phone. He said that he was coming outside, and that's the last thing he said to her.
While the investigation is ongoing, today we learned that Officer Peters has been involved in 7 shootings in the last 10 years. 6 of those have been fatal. He's been described by police as a good officer.
All those shootings in the past were thoroughly investigated and reviewed by the county attorney's office. And each of them were found to be justifiable shootings.
The U.S. government now laying out its legal argument for killing American citizens. Can they now kill American citizens inside the country? The head of the FBI, when asked about that on Capitol Hill yesterday, stumbled around on this.
Does that only apply to U.S. citizen that's overseas, or does that apply to U.S. citizen that's here as well?
I'd have to go back. I'm not certain whether that was addressed or not.
So that we have clarity here, he is not certain whether it was addressed, whether our government can kill our own people inside our own country. This really needs to be addressed? We can't just answer this question, no, the government doesn't kill our own people. We have a process for this, it's called the justice system.
You file charges, you lock them up, you try them before a jury of their peers, and then that's how. They don't kill our own people! Judge! The question is, can they kill our own citizens inside our own country?
Well, the answer,
this is a question we have to ask?
It's not a question that we should have to ask, and it's not a question that he should have evaded answering.
I don't know, Judge.
In this country now, there are a lot of people who want to expand the death penalty to include drug dealers. This is really stupid. Drug dealers aren't afraid to die. They're already killing each other every day on the streets by the hundreds. Drive-bys, gang shootings, they're not afraid to die. Death penalty doesn't mean anything unless you use it on people who are afraid to die. Like the bankers who launder the drug money. The bankers who launder the drug money. Forget the dealers. You want to slow down that drug traffic, you got to start executing a few of these bankers. White, middle-class, Republican bankers. And I'm not talking about soft American executions like lethal injection. I'm talking about crucifixion, folks. Let's bring back crucifixions, a form of capital punishment that Christians and Jews of America can really appreciate. And I'd go a little further. I'd crucify people upside down. Like St. Peter, feet up, head down, and naked. I'd have naked upside-down crucifixions on TV once a week at halftime of the Monday night football game. Halftime. Monday night. The Monday night crucifixions. You'd have people tuning in don't even care about football. Wouldn't you like to hear Dan Dierdorf explain why the nails have to go in at a certain angle? And I'll guarantee you one thing. You start executing, you start nailing one white banker per week to a big wooden cross on national TV, you're going to see that drug traffic begin to slow down pretty quick. Pretty quick. You won't even be able to buy drugs in schools and prisons anymore. Now, I don't care about capital punishment one way or another, because I know it doesn't do anything. It doesn't do anything except maybe satisfy a kind of biblical need for revenge. You know, if you read the Bible, you see that it's full of retribution and revenge. So really, capital punishment is kind of a religious ritual. It's a purification rite. It's a modern sacrament. And as long as that's true, I say, let's liven it up a little. I honestly believe if you make the death penalty a little more entertaining and learn to market it correctly, you just might be able to raise enough money to balance the stupid budget. Balance the stupid budget. And don't forget, the polls show the American people want capital punishment and they want a balanced budget. And I think even in a fake democracy, people ought to get what they want once in a while. Just to feed this illusion that they're really in charge. Let's use capital punishment the same way we use sports and television in this country to distract people and take their minds off how bad they're being fucked by the upper 1%. Now, unfortunately, Monday Night Football doesn't last long enough. What we really need is year-round capital punishment on TV every night with sponsors. Gotta have sponsors. I'm sure as long as we're killing people, Marlboro Cigarettes and Dow Chemical will be proud to participate. Proud to participate. Balance the stupid budget. And let me say this to you, my interesting Judeo-Christian friends, not only do I recommend crucifixions, I'd be in favor of bringing back beheadings. Beheadings on TV, slow motion, instant replay. And maybe you could let the heads roll down a little hill and fall into one of five numbered holes. Let the people at home gamble on which hole the head is going to fall into. And you do it in a stadium so the mob can gamble on it too. Raise a little more money. And if you want to expand the violence a little longer to sell a few more commercials, instead of using an axe, you do the beheadings with a handsaw. Hey, don't bail out on me now, am I? The blood is already on our hands. All we're talking about is a matter of degree. You want something a little more delicate? We'll do the beheadings with an olive fork. That would be nice, and it would take a good, long time. There's a lot of good things we could be doing. When's the last time we burned someone at the stake? It's been too long. Here's another form of capital punishment. Comes out of a nice, rich religious tradition. Burning people at the stake. Sponsor, Bridgeford Charcoal. And you put it on TV on Sunday mornings. The Sunday morning evangelicals send us an offering, praise Jesus, human bonfire. You don't think that would get big ratings in this sick country? You'd have people skipping church to watch this stuff. And you take the money they send in the offerings and you use it to balance the budget. What about boiling people in oil? Boy, those were the days, weren't they? You get the oil going real good, you know, a nice high rolling boil. And then slowly at the end of a rope, you lower the perpetrator head first into the boiling oil. Huh? You talk about fun! And just to encourage citizen participation, you let the mob in the stadium control the speed of the rope. Good, clean, wholesome family entertainment. The kids will love it. The kids will love it. And at the same time they're enjoying themselves, we're teaching them a nice Christian moral lesson. Boiling people in oil. Sponsor, Crisco. And maybe instead of boiling all these guys, every now and then you could French fry a couple of them, you know? French fried felons, dip a guy in egg batter just for a goof, you know? Kind of a tempura thing, huh? Jeffrey Dahmer never thought of this, did he? Jeffrey Dahmer, eat your heart out. Which is an interesting thought in and of itself. All right, enough nostalgia. What about some modern forms of capital punishment? How about we throw a guy off the World Trade Center and whoever he lands on wins the Publisher's Clearinghouse? Okay, something a little more sophisticated. You dip a guy in brown gravy and lock him in a small room with a Wolverine who's high on angel dust. There's one guy's not going to be fooling over too many kids at the bus stop for a while, huh? Here's something really nice you could do. You shoot a guy out of a high-speed catapult right into a brick wall.
Those dirty things you said to me still hang above my bed. I climbed out from the ceiling, rest upon my head. Painted on my walls works of art gone wrong. And I'm wondering, babe, when it's coming back to you. I'm reaching like a baby, tugging on your sleeve. I'm missing all the good things now. Too small to see. Oh, my arms, they get so tired. I'm hanging on this wire. Why won't you catch me? And I'm wondering when it's coming back to you now. Oh, and I'm wondering when it's coming back to you. Oh, no, and I'm tied up, tied with feeling sorry for myself. And you are don't fade you. I've got that ball and chain you swing around. You say your claim ain't gonna save you. Oh no. I know what goes around comes back around, comes back around. Your words, they sound like dirt to me, scraped up off the ground. Oh.
And it gets hard to breathe when it's stuck between your teeth. Don't look to me now.
Of embarrassing things in the past, but this might be my most mortifying request yet. Today, I have asked everyone in our audience to bring in a pair of their underwear.
Ah, dirty. Nasty. Too dirty to clean my act up. If you ain't dirty,
you ain't here to party. Somebody ring the alarm, a fire on the roof. Ring the alarm,
and I'm throwing elbows.
Ring the alarm,
and I'm throwing elbows.
Yeah, ring the alarm,
and I'm throwing elbows.
Ring the alarm,
and I'm throwing elbows.
Who ready to party? Yeah,
I'm throwing elbows.
Ring the alarm,
and I'm throwing elbows.
Ring the alarm,
and I'm throwing elbows.
You know, with the popularity of shapewear like Spanx and A-line skirts, women may not realize that they've gained weight. Yeah. Because they do a really good job at camouflaging their trouble areas, but your underwear, Dr. Oz, does not lie.
That's the rule of thumb, so it's a good audit for you. Okay, that's point number one. Moving on, question number two. It's an important one. I want to take your underwear and check this. Is the backside more than 3 inches wide? Come on, turn your underwear around. Stick them there. Backside 3 inches wide. Everyone look in there? Right. The answer, the guys don't have to check. This is more for the women. The answer should be yes.
That is right.
Why is that?
We can see here on this thong, if you look at the backside, this is clearly less than 3 inches wide. This is about an inch wide. And there are some health risks associated with this, in particular vaginal or bladder infections. And I can demonstrate it on this model here. So first, this is a side view of the pelvis. And this is the front, this is the back, and the thong comes around the bottom and wraps upward like this. Now the issue is the material comes in contact with the rectum. And the bacteria on the rectal area can transfer onto the material and make its way forward towards the vaginal area, in particular the urethra. We have a very short urethra, so the bacteria can go up into the bladder and cause urinary tract infections.
There are so many women who wear thongs now. Should they not be wearing thongs?
Well, if you're not prone to these infections, no, they'll be perfectly fine. Okay. And I would say just for extra security, maybe wear regular underwear once a week.
Perfect. All right, thank you very much. Question number three. Everyone can check this out now. I want you all checking on yourselves. Is your underwear too tight? So I want you to take the opening for the legs. Everyone do this on yourselves. You have to, you know, you can do it in the underwear you brought, but you can probably do it in the underwear you have. And is it too tight around your legs? They feel snug. And the answer to this also should be no. So Dr. Peterson, please explain it to us.
That's right. When underwear are too tight, they compress the abdomen. Mm. If you're wearing them high and tight, they can compress the stomach. And that can cause acid to reflux into the esophagus and cause heartburn.
Okay, moving on to question number four. It's all about static cling. Does your underwear have static cling? So I want you to take your underwear and fold it and unfold it and tell me if you think that the two sides are sticking together. If the answer, again, ought to be no.
I
Does your underpants have any yellow stains on the backside? So I want you please to take out your underwear. This is important. And I want you to examine it carefully. You don't have to show anybody. So I want you to examine it carefully and identify if you've got any yellow stains back there. The answer obviously should be no. But that could be just to explain what we're looking for here.
What we're looking for here is that it could be a sign of internal hemorrhoids. Internal hemorrhoids, you won't see them, you won't feel them, but they can seep mucus, which stains the underwear yellow. So one solution that we have for them right here is called a sitz bath. Now this is a contraption. It hooks on the rim of the toilet light, and it's almost like a little seat. You fill it with about 3 inches of warm water. Actually, you fill this bag, and it drains into the sitz bath, and it provides a flow of warm water continuously, and this is very soothing for the hemorrhoids, and it can also heal them.
Yeah, that's what's up, giving just what you love to the maximum. Uh-oh, here we go, what to do when the music starts to drop. And that's when we take it to the parking lot, and I bet you somebody's gonna call the cops. Uh-oh, here we go, here we go.
A jam like a summer show. I keep my car looking like a crash dummy drove. My gear look like the bank got my money froze. For their presidents, I pant like Honey Roll. That's the one that excites your divas. F the media shining with both of the sleeves up. Yo, Christina, better hop in here. My block live and in color like Rodman hair. The club is packed, the bar is filled. I'm waiting for just to act like Lauryn Hill. Frankly, it's a rap, no bargain deals. I drive a four-wheel wide with foreign wheels.
Is your panties giving you, you know, AIDS or whatever?
So that's Dr. Oz.
Dr. Mehmet Oz.
Dr.
Oz
Mehmet
Mehmet
Oz,
whatever his name is.
Was, he had a little feature on his show about underwear.
Well, first of all, let's preface this by saying that the premise of every Dr. Oz episode is to terrify every housewife in America. Like, is your panties giving you, you know, AIDS or whatever? And so this was the stern warning against wearing thong panties.
Right. Well, first they discussed, by the way, I mean, that one was just one of the, in this segment, they discussed, like, how wide are your panties? How tight are your panties? How loose are your panties? What color are your panties?
But it makes sense. You said, look at the elastic band on your panties.
Yeah.
And if they're super loose,
that's bad.
It means you're a big fat, fatty, fat pants.
Yeah.
And that you got to stop eating hot dogs
guess
and
what?
Mayonnaise.
Guess who's our super loose?
And the bacteria on the rectal area can transfer onto the material and make its way forward towards the vaginal area, in particular the urethra.
Uh-oh.
You really loved that she discussed the rectal area.
Well, can I? Because the big reason is that I am so opposed to thongs and G-strings.
Yeah.
And I have been. I have been since the thong song.
The thongs go up your ass.
They go,
I mean,
that's right.
We love the way they look. Men love the way.
It's kind of out of style now, though.
No,
isn't
but
it?
We love seeing cheeks,
right.
Big fat, you know, nice round fat, and seeing. I mean, it is aesthetically always going to be appealing to see that in those underwear. But,
I wish you would wear one.
You know, if you think about it, how dirty it gets.
Oh, God.
Well, it can get very dirty with all the brown.
That's why guys can't wear thongs. You could never rock a thong.
Yeah, because then after that you put your thong on, and then it's up in your booty hole.
Well, that's why I prefer nice cotton fullbacks,
mm-hmm.
or just a fullback. You can get nice boy panties, boy shorts.
Sure.
You know, nice cotton because that the material gives you urinary tract infections, Tommy.
I know what you're saying, Blanca.
You can't have it on there. I don't wear a thong. I mean, especially, like, let's say, you have a runny doo-doo like that, and then you get the never-ending wipes.
Yeah.
You can't rock a thong.
No.
That's gross.
That is gross.
Well, I'm glad that Dr. Oz is telling women to knock that off.
So, if you're
stupid
wondering, they're telling you.
Now, the issue is the material comes in contact with the rectum, and the bacteria on the rectal area can transfer onto the material and make its way forward towards the vaginal area, in particular, the urethra. Now, in women, they have a very short urethra, so the bacteria can go up into the bladder and cause urinary tract infections.
There are so many women who wear thongs now. Should they not be wearing thongs?
Well, if you're not prone to these infections, no, they'll be perfectly fine. Yeah. And I would say just for extra security, maybe wear regular underwear once a week.
Perfect.
Great heavens! What kind of radio show is this?
It's like the best show ever.
Now, a startling ABC News investigation. A whistleblower has come forward to tell consumers about the ground beef a lot of us buy at the supermarket. Is it what we think it is, or is it padded? With a filler, the whistleblower calls pink slime. ABC's senior national correspondent Jim Avila set out to get answers.
Gerald Zernstein grinds his own hamburger these days. Why? Because this former USDA scientist, now whistleblower, knows that 70% of the ground beef we buy at the supermarket contains something he calls pink slime. Beef trimmings that were once used only in dog food and cooking oil, now sprayed with ammonia to make them safe to eat, and then added to most ground beef as a cheaper filler. It was Zernstein who, in a USDA memo, first coined the term pink slime, and is now coming forward to say he won't buy it.
It's economic fraud. It's not fresh ground beef. It's a substitute. It's a cheap substitute being added in.
Zernstein and his fellow USDA scientist Carl Custer both warned against using what the industry calls lean, finely textured beef, and is widely known now as pink slime. But their government bosses overruled them.
Why didn't you consider it beef?
Because it was a salvage product.
Leftovers.
Fat that had been heated at low temperature, and the excess fat spun out.
Here's how it's done. Those waste trimmings are gathered, simmered at low heat to make it easier to separate fat from muscle, put in a centrifuge, and spun to finish the separation. Next, the mixture is sent through pipes where it's sprayed with ammonia gas to kill bacteria, and finally compressed into bricks and flash frozen for shipment to meat packers and grocery stores where it's added to most ground beef.
I call that the ultimate bridge to nowhere.
Thank you.
you like being a participant in the watering can of the flowers of freedom throughout the world?
Some tragic news out of New York City, where a campaign director at the liberal public policy advocacy group MoveOn.org was found dead yesterday. Kat Barr had apparently been kidnapped 11 months ago and had been secretly sneaking internet access to constantly send emails for help from her MoveOn.org account, but not a single one of them was read. The Onion News Network spoke to Seattle resident Brandon Jones, who was the first person to notice Barr had been kidnapped when yesterday he accidentally opened one of her emails while trying to delete it.
Well, the subject was, why is no one talking about this? And I just figured it was just another clip of a Republican saying something dumb, but it was actually pictures of Kat Barr all beaten up and disfigured. Of course, I didn't mean to open it, but I'm glad I did.
The longer Barr remained in her nightmarish prison, the more desperate her emails became, escalating from subject lines like Judgment Day is just around the corner to the more explicit, please help, I'm being held captive at 423 Rosedale Avenue in Queens. But sadly, each one went completely unnoticed, even by her own family.
She had to have known that no one reads those emails, right? I mean, did she really think that people read them? Oh, God.
Ms. Barr's co-workers at MoveOn.org were alone in noticing Barr's disappearance and tried desperately to find her, appearing on all major cable news outlets to spread the word. But according to reports, 100% of viewers muted their TVs as soon as they realized someone from MoveOn.org was speaking. And news anchors interviewing the MoveOn.org employees admitted to completely zoning them out. Security camera footage taken yesterday shows a frantic Kat Barr in a MoveOn.org t-shirt after managing to briefly escape her captors. But after 30 minutes of unsuccessfully pleading with passersby for help, her kidnappers found and killed her. The dozens of bystanders assumed they were simply witnessing another MoveOn.org publicity stunt.
I figured it was probably something about how, you know, Republicans are killing the country because she had a knife in her chest and was coughing up blood. And I was just like, what now? Move on.
Such a tragic story. It makes me want to go back and look through all of the emails I never look at from the American Cancer Society. All right, after the break, a new medical study finds morning is the healthiest time of day to eat a plate load of bacon.
Now, go find the others. .com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.